Before we get started with this episode, I wanted to let you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. In honor of this, I'm making my signature course, Resiliency Sprint, 50% off just for podcast listeners. You also get lifetime access to CBT Family Toolbox, over 100 activities, resources, and ideas to bring cognitive behavioral tools to your family. Head to childanxietysupport.com/resiliencysprint to learn all about this foundational course. And when you sign up, use code PODCAST to get 50% off both the coached and uncoached versions. This offer is only good till May 31st, so make sure you sign up now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Child Anxiety FAQ podcast. FAQ stands for Frequently Asked Questions, and I'll be answering your questions about child and teen anxiety. My name is Dawn Friedman, and I've been working with kids and families for more than 30 years. Now I run Child Anxiety Support, a membership program for parents of anxious kids and teens. Let's get started. The question this week is, how can I encourage my anxious child? But I think it'll be illuminating if I give you more information about the question I received that inspired this episode. I'm not going to read the whole thing since there are some private identifying details in it, but the parent shared that they have a child who tends to be pretty negative, which is not uncommon in anxious children. This child in particular is pessimistic about their ability to overcome their anxiety, and the parent feels that the more they try to encourage them, the more discouraged the child gets. So for example, the parent might say, "I know you can do it," and the child will immediately say, "No, I can't." And the parent might say, "You've done it before, so I know you can do it again." And the child will give a list of reasons why this time is different. Sure, they could do it last time, but they're not going to be able to do it this time. So they'll say things like, "Last time the situation was different," or "Last time I didn't know any better," or "Last time was just good luck." This is a situation I come across a lot in my work, and I know how frustrating it can be for parents. So first, let's talk about, why are some kids so resistant to encouragement? The answer here is that encouragement can feel like pressure. We've talked about slow-to-warm temperaments on this show before, but I'm going to go over it again since some of you might be new to the podcast. Temperament traits are aspects of our personalities that are more or less stable. They are nature, not nurture qualities, although obviously they can and will be impacted by our environments. Is someone who simply takes their time coming to new experiences. This is a person who maybe would show up at a networking event and they stay on the sides checking it out for a while before they join in. You know, they want to see how the room is flowing, who's there and who isn't. A child who is slow to warm might want to watch other children, for example, go down a slide before attempting it themselves. They might not want to eat a new food the first time it is served and may need to have it served to them repeatedly before they're willing to give it a try. Slow to warm temperaments can be frustrating for adults who don't understand them. They might see the child's initial refusal as a barrier or a hurdle, when really it's just how the child operates. They need time to take it all in and make their own decision. Not all slow-to-warm kids are anxious, but we do see slow-to-warm temperaments in anxious kids more often. They might feel anxious as part of that temperament, as part of experiencing something new for the first time. But what's important is they might not have anxiety about the event, but have anxiety about the perceived pressure. So let me explain that a little bit. The slow-to-warm child comes to things more slowly. The fact that they're coming to things more slowly is not necessarily an expression of anxiety, and the anxiety may come from feeling pressured to move in a different way, to work in a way that is not in line with their temperament. That child who needs to hang back and watch other people try the slide may not feel anxious about the slide, but they may start feeling anxious if their caregiver interprets their caution as anxiety and starts pressuring them in some way. That pressure may be what is anxiety-inducing. So they're hanging on the sidelines. Maybe they look very serious. The slow-to-warm child may eventually just choose to do it. We don't really know unless we leave them alone. But if we as adults misinterpret their slow-to-warm temperament as the anxiety issue, we might go over there and start encouraging them. You can do it. Those other kids are doing it. Why don't you try? Here, I'll take you over there. And that makes them dig in their heels because they're feeling rushed. Their temperament wants them to slow down. We want them to speed up. They start feeling anxious about people having eyes on them when what they want is the space and time to contemplate their options. Now, this is tricky because I know sometimes kids do benefit from encouragement and sometimes they don't. And figuring out who your child is in the context of holding back is part of the parenting puzzle you've been given. So let's talk more about encouragement. The opposite of the slow to warm temperament is a high approach temperament. Slow to warm is also called high withdrawal. I like slow to warm better because these kids aren't necessarily withdrawing, they just need more time. But the opposite is a high approach temperament. The high approach person likes new experiences, is interested in trying out new things. They're the ones who see a slide and they go right up that ladder. Those are kids who are willing to try any new food, who leap into new social experiences. And those children might also have anxiety, but it's not necessarily expressed through this side of their temperament. And remember, temperament is a continuum. We have slow to warm, we have high approach, and then in between, you can be a lot of different ways. But we as a culture really love high approach kids. They can be easier to parent because of that. They're willing to give things a go. And when they're reluctant, encouragement can be just the thing to get them over that hump. So they hang back for a minute and you say, you can do it. And they go, oh yeah, I can do this. Let's go. Most of us do tend to parent to a high approach temperament. You'll see that in schools. You'll see that at camp. You'll see that at lessons. Because in a high achieving culture, high approach temperament achieves more, or at least they seem to on the surface. We tend to interpret a child who holds back as a child who is nervous. And yes, again, sometimes that's true. But remember, it can be an expression of this particular personality trait. I want you to picture the slow to warm child at that slide. They're not necessarily reluctant, but they're wanting to take their time. And now the parent starts encouraging them and telling them you can do it and offering them coaching advice. Come on, let's walk over there. Why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? The child is still needing time to figure it out, but now they're feeling the pressure. They're feeling pushed. And because they're feeling pushed beyond what they're ready to do, they naturally push back. So when you say you can do it, their response is, no, I can't. And they're doing this because they are not experiencing the goodwill you are intending to give them. They are experiencing it as you are doing this wrong. The slow to warm child doesn't actually need encouragement. They need space. They need space and time to observe and to come to it in their own time. So that's the slow to warm child and encouragement. They may experience encouragement as pressure. And I think from what the person who posted this question shared, this is what is going on for them and their family. Maybe that's what's going on for you and your family. I'd be interested to know. But there's another reason why encouragement may not work, and that's because encouragement is another form of reassurance. Now, reassurance is the most common parenting pitfall that gets families stuck in child anxiety. Anxious kids ask us to reassure them that it'll be all right. And with non-anxious kids, children who have a typical amount of developmentally appropriate anxiety, reassurance can be a help. They get reassured, they move on. Anxious kids children who have an atypical amount of anxiety or who have anxiety that is more than we would expect for them at that developmental stage get reassured, and then they acclimate to that reassurance, and then they want more, more, more. This is the kid who keeps coming back, asking you to tell them that it's safe, or that they're okay, or that nothing bad will happen, or that they can do the hard thing, and you find yourself having to answer them over and over and over like a broken record. You start feeling like you need to talk them into new experiences every time, or that any anxiety-provoking event will end up in a meltdown if you are not on top of them, just bringing them through it, walking them through it. And that's the way we get trapped in reassurance. That's what makes it a parenting pitfall. The reassurance doesn't help them move on. It keeps them stuck. They keep needing to hear it over and over and over again. Can you check my homework over again? I need you to check it one more time. Are you sure the teacher won't be mad at me? Are you sure that I'm going to get a good grade? When that's happening, we may really, really struggle because it feels bad not to offer reassurance to a child who is asking for it. I want you to think about other ways you can respond instead of reassuring, sure, you'll be okay. Instead, we can say, you can only know if you try. What we're trying to do is build in curiosity about the event rather than just give a blanket reassurance. And rather than giving them encouragement, which feels like a reassurance. The truth is, they might fall climbing up the ladder. They might fall off the slide. They might bump their bottom at the bottom of the slide. They might climb up there and decide it's too high and feel humiliated. I mean, who knows? There are no guarantees in life. That's part of what's so hard about anxiety, is that anxiety wants certainty, and anxious people, including kids, need to learn how to manage that feeling of uncertainty. There are lots of places to learn how to confront anxiety, and I don't think we need to get hung up on things like going down a slide. It is not a mark of success or failure. It's an opportunity to explore. Families who are learning how to get unstuck from the sticky parts of anxiety, who are learning how to climb out of parenting pitfalls and not get dragged back in, can use everyday events like slides as opportunities to manage their own responses. In other words, it's okay to save the big confrontations for the things that really have you trapped. If your anxious child doesn't go down the slide, I wouldn't worry. I'd be working on the things that are getting in the way of functioning, like sleep routines, separating from caregivers, dealing with social relationships, struggling with perfectionism, etc. The reason I say this is because when we start spotting the parenting pitfalls, there's a temptation to eliminate them all at once. And instead, you can just use these low-key events as opportunities to understand what's happening, that you're stuck in reassuring, that you're stuck in encouragement, that your child is resistant to encouragement, to observing temperament traits, and play with it a little bit. Work on the things that will give you as much bang for the buck. So if you have a child who is struggling to let you out of their sight, you might work on that before you work on going down slides. On the other hand, you can also start with going down slides and not giving encouragement because they're low stakes. That might be easier for both of you to experiment with. You get to decide what works for you and your family. But when they experience success in some area, you can bring that memory of success into another. So if you have a child who is working on separation and you're letting them know that you're going to go switch the laundry in the basement laundry room and they're crying because they don't want you to leave them alone upstairs, you can say to them, I know it feels scary, but I also remember you going down that slide and that shows a lot of bravery, and then go downstairs. Or on the other hand, a child who has let you go downstairs, when they're asking you for reassurance about the slide, you can say something like, you can only know if you try, but what I do know is that a kid who can stay upstairs on their own while I'm doing laundry is plenty brave. So you see how learning to deal with anxiety will beget better learning in other anxious places. But you only need to start where it makes the most sense. What I hope that you will take from this podcast this week is encouragement is not encouragement for lots of kids. And encouragement can be a form of reassurance. So take that into your week and let me know. What do you learn about your family? What do you learn about your child's functioning? And let me know. I'd love to hear it. Thanks for tuning in this week. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on the show, you can reach out to me by going to childanxietysupport.com and submitting a question there. You can also check out the program while you're there. And if you'd like to learn more about whether or not it would be a good fit for your family, feel free to reach out for a quick consult call. Thanks so much, and I'll see you next week.